Welcome to the Smichael Speaks podcast channel. I'm Joanne Smichael, and I'm delighted that you tuned in for relevant leadership learning that will help you continue to soar. Enjoy this episode. This week, Dr. Olga Kovarova-Campora is my guest. She is the author of Saint Behind Enemy Lines. Born in Czechoslovakia, she's an educator, a lecturer, and quite frankly, an inspiration to me and a lot of other people. Dr. Campora is a certified life coach. She absolutely loves working with men and women who are committed, like seriously committed, to improving themselves on their physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual levels. She works with us on becoming the most loving version of ourselves. She helps people develop the ability to serve powerfully, love unconditionally, and make a difference for good wherever they are. Welcome, 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 Olga.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Joanne. This is an absolute pleasure. And I want to acknowledge you for all what you have said about me, and I cannot wait to explore what is there for us today to create this beautiful, beautiful banquet of thoughts and feelings and possibilities together.
Thank you. You contribute so much to the world, so much positive energy, and so many powerful tools for personal, professional development. So I've had admittedly, a hard time figuring out where to start the conversation because there's so much depth to what you do. So I think I'm going to start at the beginning. Can you give us a real short synopsis of how a girl from Czechoslovakia became a woman who helps people transform their lives?
Wow, that already sounds so awesome as the beginning of the conversation. So in the shortest way to describe how a girl from Czechoslovakia became a woman who helps people transform their lives is that this girl discovered that the purpose of her life is joy. And she learned that the joy we feel has very, very little to do with the circumstances of our lives and has everything to do with focus of our lives. And so in more depth, when I came to the US and people heard my story of growing up in a communist Czechoslovakia, they told me that they thought about me as a hero. And I was very reluctant to accept this, you know, title. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And today I really embrace the title of a hero with all my heart. And here is why, John. I feel like a hero to me is anyone who treats her or his life as the most important life university to learn and embrace all the circumstances of life as a beautiful and wonderful spiritual curriculum and masters on a daily basis how to forgive instantly and love unconditionally. Mm-hmm. So I'm simply really grateful where and under what circumstances I was born, for I know it has given me an incredible opportunity to just flex some muscles mm-hmm. that would otherwise all be dormant within my soul.
So did you ever think that you would be here in the U.S. doing this work that you do?
So I'll tell you something, Joanne. As an early preteen, I had one thing in my room right above my head, and it was a world map. And down deep, I felt I will live somewhere else than where I come from. But the reality didn't dawn on me until I actually came on the invitation to the U.S. to teach Czech language, first at the University of Brigham Young, the University of Brigham Young in Provo, Utah, and then later on at the George Washington University in Washington, D.C. And to me, you know, U.S. has always been for me a land of promise, mm-hmm. a land of really unlimited possibilities. And then later on, when I published my autobiography, Saint Behind Enemy Lines, I started to speak publicly at so many different platforms, and people share with me how impactful and transforming my life and my story is for them. And I just realized that there is really something about the way I handled my circumstances as a child, as a kid, as a preteen, as a teen, and as a young adult, that I realized that somehow I train myself into creating within myself the sense of courage, but also I have developed really a deep awareness around who I am and who I really want to be in the world. So becoming a life coach to me has been a dream to come true. In the shortest, most possible way, I would describe it as I have finally my dream kitchen.
I love that.
Figuratively speaking, where I am just amazed by what can be created on daily basis by implementing these tools to mine and to other people's lives.
I love that, a dream kitchen. I love that. I don't know if I ever told you this, Olga, but I have always been very, very, very skeptical of people who bill themselves as life coaches. And I was skeptical until I met you. Your approach is really different. Very different than what I expected. You are no nonsense, and it's all about going deep. There's no silliness, there's no frills. I have such respect and appreciation for how you approach your work. I want to talk about the foundation, the theoretical or the philosophical foundation of your coaching work. What is that?
That's a really, really beautiful question. I think that the very first thing, Joanne, is really important to distinguish the difference between therapy and life coaching.
Okay.
So let's go first to that. You know, therapy, as we know, focuses on mental health. Mm-hmm. Life coaching focuses on goals. So the major difference between therapy and life coaching is the focus of the work. Therapy focuses on mental health and emotional healing, while life coaching focuses on setting and really achieving goals. So the foundation of the work in life coaching is based in understanding that our thoughts create our feelings, and then the circumstances don't determine the outcome and direction of our lives. It's rather our thoughts that create the reality.
Say that again, because I think that's really powerful.
Yes. So the foundation is really the understanding that our thoughts create our feelings and that the circumstances don't determine the outcome and direction of our lives. It's rather our thoughts that create our reality.
That I think is so powerful. So how did you get here? How did you determine that you wanted to root your work in this thought realm? How did you get here?
I really have to speak about something that is absolutely essential, not only in my coaching, but in my life as who I am. And that is talking about love. Love is the golden thread that weaves through our lives. We are very familiar with the Beatles song, "All We Need Is Love." But I am not speaking about romantic love per se, but I would like to speak about the love with the capital L, the longing of our soul. However, if I would have a client and I would tell him, all what we are going to do is we are going to coach you on finding love, they would hesitate and they would say, well, wait, Olga, but I want to make more money. And I won't have my husband to pick up finally his socks, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, so I think that this is just kind of, you know, really important that, you know, the whole work is, you know, in coaching to help people to connect to their soul. And we can then talk about it a little bit more, what that means really practically, as, you know, I might coach on health or I might coach them on the way they struggle in the relationship with their husband, etc. So we can then expand on that a little bit more.
Good. That's what I want to do. I want to talk about your approach to life coaching. Yes. And I want to cover three things, if you're good with this. How do people prepare for the deep dive development that you offer. And that's the first piece I want to explore. So let's just start there. Mm-hmm. How do you get ready?
Excellent question. That's a brilliant question. Before a coach can support you in any kind of transformation that you want to create, you need to figure out what's most important to you. So what I do first is I really pull out what it's called the wheel of life. And we really look at your areas on your health, on your personal development, on your family, friends, career, money areas. And we dig deeper and realize what is the most important area right now at this very moment that you struggle with, okay? So then we really dig deeper, and I encourage each client to be very honest with themselves, meaning just, you know, that we actually have to ask some reflection questions. And I usually have about 10 questions prior to work with each client, and just to share a couple of them, you know, like possibilities. So I would ask, is there something missing from your life right now? Or another question would be, what's not working for you right now in your lifestyle, in your career, in your relationships? Or what are three things I am right now tolerating in these areas? So desire, you know, is really, really very important, you know, thing for anyone who would like to get on coaching. If I just, you know, think, oh, it's something that it's out there and I would like to just try it out, that's one way to approach it. But there is more into life coaching to create a really deep transformation, and it comes to find what the deep desire in people's heart is. And the other thing that I would also add to what I have said is being coachable. This is just so important.
Yes.
And we can then also expand what that means, but, you know, it's just very, very difficult if someone is so set in the way of their thinking and who they are, and they just simply, whatever the question is, or whatever the deeper way we want to dig in, they just would simply say, well, Olga, this is just the way I am, you know, or this is kind of karma. So this is something very important, and that is just, you know, pathway into, you know, also a journey. If I want to have a coach, how to really just kind of, you know, embark on the journey to be actually coachable. So we can get into that as well, you know, in a little bit.
So that's very interesting, the concept of being coachable. To me, when you say that, it means being open. Mm-hmm. But when you say that, it also, there's some fear that could go along with that of having to do the deep dive reflection, having to really hold a mirror up to the self. So, but before we go to that, I got to get you to talk about self-forgiveness and self-compassion, because I know that those are two things that you emphasize heavily, and they're not easy. They're not. And I'm speaking for Joanne. Those are not easy. So can we talk about what they mean and why you emphasize them?
Yes, these are just so foundational and important in any transformation. And I think that people don't have a really full and deep understanding what these two terms, self-compassion and self-forgiveness, mean. So here are a couple of things. I would really like to start with self-compassion, okay?
Okay.
And self-compassion really involves treating yourself the way you would treat your best friend who is having a really challenging time, even if your friend would blow it. Now, in our Western culture, where we are, there is a great emphasis on being kind to others, you know, who are struggling.
Yes.
Not so when it comes to ourselves. So through the process of self-compassion, we become an inner ally instead of an inner enemy. And a good exercise, you know, for, you know, your listeners, just to understand a little bit what we are talking here about, is to ask yourself, you know, a question. How do I treat a friend? Just reflect just for a moment who you are when your very dear friend goes through a difficult time. Mm. And then ask yourself a question, how do I treat myself when I'm struggling in some way, failed or had a misfortune? And just write down what you have discovered and you will be surprised. What self-compassion is really not is throwing a pity party, you know, for myself, or misconception that self-compassion is for wimps. I have to be tough and I have to be strong. That. I need to think more about other people, not about myself. So also people sometimes think being self-compassionate itself is, and it's actually very opposite of that. It's really learning how to create a relationship with yourself, how to be an ally. So that would be in a nutshell, you know, in very just generic terms about self-compassion. And then you have asked me, Joanne, also about self-forgiveness. And there is a really an excellent book for the listeners that they can look into. It's called The Art of Gentle Blessings. It's by Pierre Pradevant. And it can help the listener actually to go a little bit deeper beyond the podcast to look at this concept, because it has a huge, huge concept, okay? But what he says, a quote here, he says, a lack of authentic self-love, which is completely different from egoism and has no trace of selfishness, results nearly always from a residue of thought of self-condemnation, which lurks in the cave of human ego, the mental realm. Guilt is the mafia of the mind. Mm-hmm. Do not let the mafia reign in your inner home. So the most meaningful definition of true self-forgiveness is that we realized that we have some sort of pattern of thinking about ourselves. The way we grow up in our childhood, we are around adults, and the adults are telling us what is right, what is wrong. And that creates, and not only what is right and wrong, but certain situations that, you know, the children are, we just learn certain patterns. And so as we get older, then we are seeing things in our way. This is right, this is wrong. And so we become very judgmental. Mm-hmm. And as we become judgmental, usually just then we look at others from a certain perspective that is just exactly how we see ourselves. Like, you know, how could this person do this? This is not right, okay? But what happens then, we get just, you know, to become just someone who is constantly judging. And the worst thing is that we judge ourselves, but we just say, I am not as good enough. I am not going to be smart enough to finish this goal. I'm never ever to be a good singer, or I am never ever to be a good speaker. So we then kind of have these thoughts and beliefs about ourselves that then either help us to improve and evolve, or they keep us stuck in a cave of our thinking, because the thinking is everything, and the self-compassion is really, and a self-forgiveness is a process that I can forgive myself for judging myself as not smart enough. Mm-hmm. And investigate that into the depth with your coach, and realizing that it is actually not true, and finding actually a new truth for yourself, that it's going to be empowering. Of mm-hmm. course, you will not go from, I don't think I'm just smart enough to, I'm the genius. That mm-hmm. would be way mm-hmm. too far sure. to just kind of start to believe. Sure. But, you know, I can, you know, believe in a thought, I'm a human. Mm-hmm. And as a human, I can evolve. Right? And then it's more or less like a stair-step evolution for each client to start embracing ideas about themselves, how they are treating themselves, that are helping them to step in really their own power, in who they really, truly always are meant to be.
I love that. And that leads me to something else I want to talk about with you. Mm-hmm. You use I am statements as a foundation for the journey into self. Not I will be, not I can be, but I am statements. What is that all about?
This is absolutely most actually essential question that we can ask in our lives, because the way, Joanne, I see myself, meaning what I think about myself, is absolutely everything. Mm-hmm. Everything that we have in our life is created through our being. So it means we, both of us, are constantly creating something. Every single minute, even in this very moment, we are being, right? I am being your friends who have been asked, you know, by you to come and, you know, discuss certain things. I am being someone who is expressing my thoughts, who I am as a life coach, who I am as a human being. So in every single minute, we are being someone. We are being either lovely, or we are being critical, or we are being a traveler, you know, on a journey from here to Italy. We are always, every single second, we are being, you know, something. We are creating something. So what I mean that just kind of that we are always, you know, creating something. The question is, do I like what I am creating, how I am being, okay? Because one of the most important things in our lives is being in alliance with the things we wish to create, right?
So can you explain that a little?
Yes. So it means one thing, and that is just, you know, a lot of us, we think that we can become someone by doing things, that doing comes, you know, before I can become somebody. And a phenomenal coach, his name is Steve Hardison, he said something that really has changed my perspective, how to look at the way of being and doing. And what he says, that our being is the seed of our doing. And our doing is the fruit of our being.
I like that.
Right? So it's just, you know, it's just we already need to step in the possibility that I am a great piano player. Because if I say that I am a great piano player, it's very different from saying I will be one day. When I say I am a great piano player, okay? And there is a process to just kind of arrive to that thought also. But if I'm the greatest, you know, pianist, it means that I have a level of commitment that is going to help me to practice every single way. There is just no way I'm not going to practice. So there is a level of commitment that I'm making to myself that is just kind of, you know, like beyond of just dreaming about something. Because if you say, I will be a great pianist, you are saying, I am not great today.
Yes, that is true.
So it's stepping in that possibility, just living in that vortex of energy, what it feels, who would I be? Who would I be on daily basis if I would say that I am a great pianist? Mm-hmm. Who would I be? Mm-hmm. How would I just kind of, you know, treat my daily schedule, okay? How would I eat? How would I take care of my body? Mm-hmm. How would I explore, you know, the music? How would I practice? What kind of a teacher I would have as my, you know, as my pianist? Does it make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And it's about confidence and about projecting who we are into the world.
Right.
So yes, it makes a lot of sense. But now let's deal with this. Everybody's not ready for life coaching. Mm-hmm. There's a guy named Bruce Avolio, and he writes about developmental readiness. He says this, that everybody doesn't have the deepest desire to learn. You know, they have a self-concept, they have some clarity about that. But sometimes people don't necessarily understand their roles. But to be developmentally ready, you have to have a positive self-concept. You have to understand your role, but you also have to be ready to question them, seek and accept feedback, which is hard for lots of people, and then identify your own areas for growth. That's a lot for a person to do. So how do you determine whether a person is ready for this journey into self that you're going to guide them through? How do you look at a person and say, yes, you're ready, or no, you need to go home?
Right. So, brilliant question. This is so amazing. I just love, Joanne, you know, the questions that you ask. Here is something that can go back a little bit to our earlier conversation, what it means to be coachable, because it goes, you know, with this theme, okay? So there are a few things just kind of, you know, consider, and that is looking at coachability traits and tenets, okay? So I would just explore a few, okay? So number one, action-oriented. So it means that just the person that is coached, okay, they are capable to do something different right away after the coaching session. And that is because it's action-oriented, right? The coaching, life coaching is about taking action, you know, creating a goal. And the goal is not just, you know, creating something in your mind, but it's really about taking action, okay? So it means also a willingness to accept the guidance. The coach's job is to help to disrupt the status quo and to give the client a new perspective. You will be presented with a guidance you hadn't previously really considered. You will be encouraged to take action under maybe the same circumstances you would be a year ago or a week ago, but to take completely a different action, meaning taking an action from much deeper courage. Okay, and we can kind of talk about it as well in, you know, in more practical terms, but just kind of, you know, action-oriented willingness to accept the guidance. And the other few ones is openness to experimentation and testing. And it means that the people who get a lot out of coaching are open to diving into the new things in order to see what works, right? Your coach's job is to shake up your thinking and steer you away from the default path and toward you creating a new part of yourself. So really disrupting the thinking pattern that you would have in the past, the way you would be dissolving an issue with your spouse or with your boyfriend, etc. Just looking, is there a different way we can approach this situation and what it would be like? Are you capable and courage to take just kind of a different action? And then there is another couple of things, and that is self-awareness. So a coach can really help, you know, with the assessment tools, because as you are more self-aware of what's happening, you know, in your thoughts, how you are acting or reacting in the daily situation, your also coachability will increase, because it's all about just kind of gaining self-awareness. And, you know, like for people who love to do yoga, it's a beautiful pathway of self-awareness about your body, about your mind, because the yoga is just a combination dance between the mind and just kind of, you know, the body. Anything that helps self-awareness, it can be, again, it can be music, it can be anything that just helps me to tap into myself, into my body, into my mind, and see myself a little bit more, you know, clearly. And the other thing is just kind of that I wanted to point on about being coachable is just about, you know, something that's called strong opinions, okay? A coach's goal is never, ever to push you in a directions that you don't want to, you know, go. A coach, a really a great coach, is someone who always asks you for permission to give you advice, you know, and to then really let you to create or I would say really finalize what is it just kind of that you are going to do. So the coach is never ever going to, you know, tell you, you do this, okay? He will ask you rather question, Joanne, who do you need to be to complete the book that you want, what you want to write? Who do you need to be? Rather than, okay, this is what you have to do. Every day you have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and just for 45 minutes, just kind of, you know, write whatever comes to you, right? Because everybody's a little bit different. Because when you ask, who do I need to be to finish this book or to start writing the book, it will then take you into the action and creating just kind of a certain level of commitment, okay? So those are just, you know, things, you know, to answer the question, you know, how we can, you know, assess if the person is really ready for coaching.
You know, you hit on some things that I think are really important. One of them is self-awareness. That's the first component of emotional intelligence.
Absolutely.
So I think that that's really important. I think that this whole idea of confidence and being willing to disrupt the patterns of thinking, those are really interesting things. So you've taken us already in, on an interesting journey. I mean, we've talked about self-compassion, love, self-forgiveness, the I am statements, which I personally love. You shared a lot, but there is so much more to discover with you. Would you consider coming back for another conversation about your work, helping people evolve into their best selves?
Absolutely. Let's go. Let's do this.
I love that. Before we close, if a listener wants to reach out to you to discuss how you can help them maximize their lives, how do they connect with you?
Yes, absolutely. So they can get at my website, which is www.olgakempora.com, or they can also call our business number 443-636-1243. That they can text that they would like to have a conversation with me, or they can call directly and we will answer the question and we will create a, you know, a possibility, you know, for you to just figure, is this something that you might be interested in? Is it something that you need at this point in your life?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Olga. And I look forward to continuing this conversation. I want, the next time we talk, I want to talk about thought creation.
Oh, I love that. I love that. It's going to be a great one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you got tools that you'll actually use and share. Subscribe if you haven't already. I add new and relevant leadership learning all of the time. If you haven't visited the Smichel Speaks YouTube channel, check it out. There's all sorts of new content. All of this is virtual leadership learning that will help you soar.